Are you still getting ghosted? Maybe they're walking right past you as if they don't see you. Or perhaps, my personal favorite, they've come up with every excuse as to why you guys can't be together even though you practically are. Well, see, what had happened on season one was we thought we had done all the work, but perhaps there's a little bit more left to do. So here I am back for season two, your host, Justin Rain, ready to help you finesse through the stress in the land of fuckboys. So prepare to laugh, cry, possibly be triggered, but most importantly, I promise, this season we're going to heal as we begin to address our fuckboy problem.
Don't wanna be a player.
I don't wanna be a player no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
I mean, a punisher, still got what you're looking for.
Don't wanna for be, thugs, don't wanna for be my thugs.
I don't wanna be a player no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
Don't you know, Big
on today's episode of Fuckboy Problems, titled Mr. Cafe Olé, I sit down with supermodel and entrepreneur Cynthia Gatonga to talk about interracial dating, colorism, and fuckboys that won't check their friends. So sit back, relax, prepare to be a little triggered. But first up, here's Fuckboys in the News.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is the news.
Good evening. This is the news.
Good evening. This is the news.
Campaign between James and Phoebe really heating up now. Thanks.
Fucking library.
This is the fucking news.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No!
This is the fucking news.
Welcome back to Fuckboys in the News. It's the portion of the show where if you are fucking up and you have no excuse for your actions, know that I'm going to call you out on them. This week, we have a special week. It's Valentine's week. And you know what? I thought we could do something different. So guess what, ladies? You are on deck. Because let me let you know something if you did not know. Girls can be fuck boys too. And if you don't have a gender identity, guess what? You are not safe. Because being a fuck boy is a lifestyle choice. It's just a characteristic. It's not an actual gender association. We just like to make fun of the term. So, first up on the list, we have none other than the social media viral sensation herself, Miss Gorilla Glue Girl. I know y'all have seen it everywhere on the internet. I've seen it everywhere on the internet. I'm so happy that she has her hair and her edges. She does not deserve them. Let me give you guys a little bit of backstory. If you do not know or you've been living under a rock like Patrick, Tessica Brown, she lives in New Orleans, I believe. I want to say maybe like a week ago. She went to Twitter and TikTok and social media. She released a video saying that 30 days ago, you know, her normal like got to be glue, like spray, like I guess like adhesive that would like, you know, like smooth her edges out or whatever had like run out. And she knew that there was like a Gorilla, I guess like similar named solution, but not Gorilla Glue. It was similarly named. And she just grabbed the can thinking like, okay, well, Gorilla, maybe they're like living in the same jungle and they both will, you know, provide similar effects since the, you know, the selling properties or the value proposition of Gorilla Glue is that it is an adhesive. I get it. You know, she thought that, you know, maybe they were in the same band. I don't know. But here's where the issue is. You know, Tessica, throughout this whole thing, in my opinion, has acted like a complete and utter fuckboy about this shit. Let's just talk about the facts here. One, Tessica can read. Tessica is, I believe, 40 years old. Yeah, Tessica, you can read. So that means you can verify if something is Gorilla Glue or Gorilla like hair bonding adhesive. Like you could have done your due diligence. Also, Tessica, I believe you do hair all the time. Why did, after noticing that it wasn't, you know, coming off when you were trying to wash your hair, why would you leave it on there for 30 days and not go to an emergency room or try to, you know, contact a beautician or someone, a professional? Why wait 30 days, sis? No, because you ain't shit either. And you done did this GoFundMe and all this other bullshit, which I think is great to a certain extent because, you know, we all want peace in the hair grease and all the things in between. But my issue is, just like a fuckboy, you want to blame others for your ignorance and try to make everyone else responsible for solving your own problems. I mean, she was on in there like crying wolf, like, we need to fix your shit. I mean, making Gorilla Glue responsible, it was just a mess. Tesca, I'm glad you got your edges back. You should be very, very fortunate that you were not scalped in this incident, and I hope that you learn from it for the future. Next. Okay, number two on the list this week is a girl. I really don't want to give too much, but I just feel like we got to call out karma because I tell you guys all the time, as a reformed fuckboy, karma definitely came back and got me. So I just want to show you guys a little bit of example. When you do a bitch dirty, you're never going to win. We have Dani Lee. She is number two on the list. If you don't know, Dani Lee, Miss Yellowbone herself, she ain't got no chocolate man no more. Yes, DaBaby played her. Yes, she looks dumb. Yes, she's stupid. Yes, she's an issue, in my opinion. Let's just get serious for a second. Dani Lee released the song Yellowbone, where she excessively, and I mean excessively, if you have not heard it, I will not play it on this podcast. She says nigga over and over and over, way more than necessary, like I said, and talks about how, you know, her whole chocolate man, you know, wants nothing but her yellow bone self. And she just glorifies her light skin and all of its colorist glory. And I'm just like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. You know, what about you being a yellow bone do you think makes you so fab? And it's not even hate. It's just, you're with a dark skin guy, so clearly dark skin should be special. Like, I just have never gotten that. I just have never gotten the glory or like worshiping that over the other, but I get it. And then what makes it even worse is the defense. She's gonna say she has a man and she also has beautiful dark skin friends. Okay, racist. How many racists have you guys met that have always defended their racist actions by saying, but I have a black friend. I work with black people. I have amazing, amazing black maids that work in my house. Okay, Hilly Holbrook, is this the help? No, it's not. Fuck you, Dani Lee. Grow the fuck up. I hope this heartbreak teaches you something. And instead of you getting frustrated with people for calling you out for your colorist ass bullshit, how about you just try to grow from it instead, fuckboy? How about that? Last up on the list. Prepare to be triggered. Sorry, guys. We have a 24-year-old racist and star of The Bachelor, unfortunately. I'm so tired of that show and this platform for white fucking privilege and supremacy. But that's another conversation. She's 24 years old and her name is Rachel Kirkconnell. The name says Kirkconnell. I wish I would be walking around with a name like Kirkconnell. Y'all want some Kirkconnell? Like, what the fuck? Anyway, I'm not going to shade on this girl name. But recently, Rachel, she was discovered on social media in all her racist glory. Photos from her in college, actually attending an antebellum plantation-themed frat formal, which, of course, you know, was splattered and nothing but, you know, white ignorance, racism, and lies and apathy. Because now she goes to social media to apologize and say she was so ignorant and she didn't know better. And she's so, you know, thankful for people bringing this to her awareness. And she, you know, is going to push herself to learn and be more educated. And fuck that. This is stupid. Because in college, you are aware of racism. In college, you are aware of slavery. In elementary school, we are in 2021. So that means what? I don't know, you're 24. Let's even just subtract 10 years. In 2010, you were very well aware of civil rights. You were very well aware of slavery. You were very well aware of America's history. And you, your college counterparts, etc., decided that it would be fun because a 70s theme, all the other themes in the world were not appealing slavery was more appealing to you. And the fact that you wanted to align yourself with that, Rachel, says so much more about yourself. And the only reason why now you feel the need and are being implored to have to correct your actions are because eyes are on you and because you don't want to lose a little bit of limelight that you have. And that's manipulative as fuck and deceptive as shit. And I have no sympathy for you. I hope every piece of the internet drags you into oblivion. I hope anybody that hears this does not fuck with you or support your pasty ass. And that's all I have on it. Now that we've gotten that bit of, you know, logistics out of the way. Next up, we have Cynthia talking about Mr. Cafe Olay, interracial dating, colorism, all the things. Stay tuned.
I don't know what to do but to keep part two of my confessions.
All right, everybody. I'm so excited to have my guest on here today. She is, to me, I feel like she's the Barbie to my Ken. If you ever had to find a chocolate Barbie out in the world to stand beside me, she would be the girl that I would call. We have Miss Cynthia Gatanga. She's a supermodel, and she's also a host of a great podcast you guys could listen to. It's called The Gold Room Podcast. Welcome. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I like my introduction too. That was real cute. Okay.
I mean, you are the supermodel of the world. In my opinion, you're definitely my 2020 supermodel of the world. Oh, thank you. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Once you guys see what she looks like, you'll be like, oh my God.
I know, right? Give me a good picture.
I don't know. We're going to pick a very good picture, of course, always. Because I wouldn't want anybody picking a bad picture of me. So I definitely don't pick bad pictures of anybody else. But yes, so today's episode is called What's Cynthia?
Oh, so today's episode is called Mr. Cafe Olay.
Oh, yes, Mr. Cafe Olay. And today, Cynthia is here to talk to us all about interracial dating, you know, getting with the swirl.
Okay, you down with fun. The swirl? Okay.
I'm definitely down with the swirl. My parents are not all Black, as I may look Black. So I have biracial parents, so I definitely am down with the swirl.
So he's a product of the swirl, okay?
Definitely the product of the swirl.
It's so fun.
It is kind of cute, yeah. You guys got to be woke, got to be more open-minded. That's definitely what this episode is all about. So let's get straight into it. So we got Mr. Cafe Olay. Tell us, where'd you meet this guy? Like Golden Girls, picture it. Sicily, it's 1976, we're on the pier.
It is 2016. Okay. I'm walking through the mean streets of New York City. I actually stop into this. I go to this warehouse. It's a club. I'm sure everyone has been to it. But we just gonna call the club Folgers right now. Club Folgers. Okay.
Club Folgers. I love it.
Okay. I'm a coffee bean.
Hey, you're ready to get ground, okay?
Okay. I roll into this, you know, this place, and Mr. Cafe Olay, I'm over here looking to be grinded up because I'm a coffee bean, so I was looking for a job, actually.
Hello.
You know, I learned a little other coffee beans and told me to go to this place, so now we're here.
You're going to find the right guy to ground you. Hello.
Okay. So I roll into this place, sit down, and Mr. Cafe Olay is the one who's actually doing the interviews because it's his business. And I did not know he owned the business. And so, yeah, from there we grinded it up and we was, you know, he put a little bit of caramel in me. And
first night y'all met, you just went straight to it. You said, let's just go ahead and find out now.
That's the thing. So he was courting me. I ended up getting the job, and he was just very persistent. So I was nervous. That's the thing. So once I found out he was a partner in this spot, and he kept asking me to go out with him, and I'm like, I don't want to have to go out with my boss. Like,
oh yeah. Crazy. Okay.
I was working with other coffee beans. Okay. There's a lot.
So you're like, I don't need, so you're like, I don't need no mess.
It was a party, you know, it was a club. All right. So we was always working together, and he kept asking, like, I would love to take you out. I would love to take you out. And it was a little bit of special treatment, but I'm just like, oh, let's have fun. Let's take shots, you know?
I know what that's like. I know what that's like in a club environment. You're like, no, we're just going to keep everybody happy. That includes the boss.
Yeah. Like, I just want to be nice to everyone. I don't need to be your friend, but I want to be just cordial and nice with you. And, you know, other coffee beans, other girls, you know,
that's never good when they catch wind of it.
They start steaming up. Okay. The whole place smell like coffee.
I would say the girls at work got jealous.
So the girls were mad and he kept asking. So it's like people who I work with were upset with me because they see me working all the time and all the good parties. And then the pressure of him, like, hey, and like, let's go out, let's just go out to eat, let's just go do something real quick. He would call me like, yeah, I'm running errands. And so I'm just like, oh my gosh. So I finally gave into it. We went out on a date and it was cool. Like, we actually genuinely had a really good time. So
isn't that messed up when the fuckboys surprise you, when they actually have decent personalities and they just choose to be dicks?
They just, oh, it gets crazier. So we're dating for a while.
How long is this? How many months is this? You guys are dating?
No, not even a while. I need to hold you up. We're dating for like a month. Okay.
Oh my God. That's perfect. You said I'm not even gonna hold you.
We're dating for like a month. And then we're all into it. He never wants me to go home. I'm working with him. I'm at his house. And then he turns around. He's like, hey, why don't you just move in with me? And this, at the time, I was living in Queens. And I liked my own spot. Like, I was like, oh, this is cute. But I wanted to move to Harlem. So I was like, And he was like, you always talk about Harlem and how you want to live there. And you're always there with your friends. So you should save your money, because I know I'm making you a lot of money right now. You need to save your money and you should probably just move in with me. And this is, we started dating in September. He asked me to move in with him in November.
Okay.
And in December, a bitch was just moved out. I was like, okay, let me just do it. It seems like the good thing to do.
And it's wintertime too. If you all do not know how the wintertime can fuck with your emotions in New York City, let me just tell you, you will be moved in by Thanksgiving. Let me just tell you, when that fall weather hits.
It's a different type of cold, okay? I'm refusing, all right? It's a different type of cold. It's that I need a nigga to take care of me type of cold.
Hold me.
Okay, all right, hold me. Pay this to your rent. I don't want to have to put on my jacket and go to the goddamn workplace.
And I can leave your house and run and catch up with my girls.
This guy, so we moved in together, and that's when he had a lot of girlfriends, because obviously he works in the industry. Shit hits the fan. I'm literally moved. The weekend I move in, one of the girls from the establishment we work at, the club, they do some wild shit and she tries to like press me. And I'm like, girl, you know I fight in real life. Like, I'm nice and I'm cute, but I will beat your ass.
Don't let this Prada fool you.
Okay.
Tony Childs. Okay.
Get you hurt. So anyways, I have never got into a physical fight over a guy before. And I fought this girl. She like, they all were doing some really trifling stuff. And so anyways, me and the girl get into a fight. The first red flag was when we got into the fight, he didn't ask me if I was okay.
What?
He said, hey, what should I do with this? And I was like, what do you mean? What should you do with this? He was like, you know, this is my establishment. you know, she wants to press charges. She did press charges. She did go to the cops and press charges, but because we got into a fight in the bathroom, nobody, bathroom attendant was like, I didn't see anything. It was just some real ghetto shit. And I'm from the suburbs. I was just like, oh Lord, I can't believe I moved to New York and girls are mad. Like, and it was basically, you chose to date a black girl. That's literally what it was. Like all the Hispanic girls, all the you know, because sometimes like the Indian Caribbean girls, they do think they're better than the black girls.
No, and it's true. It's so true in New York City. Like, it's colorism is real. Just because we're the same race, if we're not the same color, there are levels to that shit too.
Yeah. And so that's literally what it was. And I even asked him, I was like, hey, you know, things are going great. But if you were talking to any of these girls before, you just had to let me know. Because if I'm never going to fight over a guy, but I will fight you if you're trying to disrespect me, you know? And he just and so from that point, he never fired the girl. He claimed he couldn't because she pressed charges and then they don't want to be sued, blah, blah, blah. You never asked me if I was okay. And we got into a fight the day before Christmas. You know, it was just a mess. And so from that moment, I knew he really didn't care about like about how I feel. And that literally was our whole entire relationship. Like anytime he would do something, or a lot of Latin women are very, he had a lot of Latin women friends too. And they're very, it's all colorism. It's black girl and Latin.
In the Latin community, colorism is rampant. I've dated Dominican and Puerto Rican. And let me just say, I'm glad I know a little bit of Spanish because negro, black, okay, you know, my black ass,
okay, exactly.
This black ass nigga, you talking about me in Spanish, like I don't know what the fuck you just said. Okay.
That's probably the most annoying part either. But I know what negro means. Okay. All right. Yeah. So throughout our relationship, anytime we had a fight like that, if one of his friends were disrespecting me or anything like that, he never stood up for me. And I always felt like I was just like, I was always fending for myself because girls would get out of line all the time. And when I would cuss them out, he would never say anything, but he would never just check his people. And so it got lighter from there. I feel like the worst thing happened at the beginning. Like I got into a physical fight with a girl because.
So then that's what you're comparing all the other bullshit to.
Throughout the whole entire relationship. Yeah. So I just think that was his fuckboy problem. And I realized that because I stayed and I kept like, it was just arguments over and over and over again.
What would some of them be about?
I'm like, hey, like your friends are disrespecting me. Every time they come here, they have something to say about.
Like at the job or just like when you guys job, would be hanging out?
When they come to separately. The house, got when it. We would go out with them, it's just like, and eventually he just stopped inviting me out with them because wow. It was just like he had four sisters. Sisters loved me. His friends, it was just like you let people come into your life or come into our relationship. You know, and I'm a Leo. I'm very prideful. Like you cannot talk about any people I know. Like Justin, if somebody was to say something bad about you, I wouldn't let that like fly. It's just like, no, like don't talk about my friends. I'm very protective over the people I care about.
There's no loyalty. He had no loyalty.
Yeah, there's no loyalty. There was no loyalty. So that was the last relationship. I don't know. Like that's fuckboy. That's a fuckboy, right?
No, that's definitely a fuck boy. So, so the entire relationship, let's dig in a little bit deeper. So how long was the entire relationship?
We were together a little over 2 years.
Oh my gosh, 2 years. Mm-hmm. So this happened. So you get into the fight with the girl the day before Christmas.
And that's
over. And that's at the beginning.
Since September. We started dating in September. We got into a fight in December.
Okay, so what does you guys healing or like coming back from this fight look like? I know you said the next day he's like, so what do you want me to do with this? And I know you said he doesn't ask you if you are okay. At any point, does he show any remorse or is he like, all right, so are the girls still like giving you shit? also, like, in this moment, at what point have you, like, advocated for yourself? Like, have you let him know, like, okay, the girls are trying me at work, this relationship, you know, is causing issues, like, in my day-to-day, like, oh, I need yeah. you as a boss. At what point are you, like, coming to him, asking him as, like, a boyfriend and also as a boss to handle your bitches, basically?
Yeah, because it was literally... He just wanted to feel like he was the man, you know, like, you know, all the girls, everybody, like, it's like these girls are only flirting with you and being sexy with you is because you could take care of them. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not like how I am. I don't feel that way about you. Like, I didn't want to date you because you're my boss and you're persistent. And then we had a good time. So that's what happened. But as far as the, how I approach it, I approach it immediately like, hey, I don't feel secure. I don't think you are handling this right. And I told him before we actually got into the altercation, I was like, I'm gonna beat her ass. And I don't know if you understand that, but that's just something that's gonna
happen. I don't know if you get that.
And at the time, we're still new. So he's probably like, oh, I don't see that.
This bitch not really crazy.
Yeah, but... I was just like, yeah, no, I'm gonna whoop her ass. And then when I did, it was like, oh, so you weren't playing. Cause I was like, I just feel the disrespect. And I remember I even asked him, I said this a little earlier, did you all have something? Did you? Because if you did, I could back up, you know, I don't want to fight over you. Mm-hmm. And so I am.
What was his answer to those questions about like his relations with other women in the establishment, like prior to you, like girls he had dated or talked to? What was his excuse then? I really want to hear that.
And then this is a growing, it was a learning experience. He has dated like a lot of the people he's worked with. And I guess at that time they had been talking and I just got hired after. And she had a boyfriend, but she cheats on her boyfriend. It was just like a whole, it was something he never,
that was really the story that he told you
about. She told me that she cheated.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Shit. So she's trash.
He had a rapport. Yeah. She's
so trash. Y'all was cool till you was fucking what she wanted.
Yeah. And it was just like, but I didn't know that they were talking. That's why I'm like, wait, did y'all talk? You know? And they always like flirt. And after that, like, I noticed like the flirting was like ramped up. And I'm just like, you know what, do what you gotta do, girl. Like, I don't
this
even
is
care
too much.
At this point. Like, you know, at that time I was dealing with some other personal things. I was just like, you know what? I gave up my apartment. I just moved in with you. And I literally get into a fight, you know? It was a lot on my mental at the time. So he just never really, he never really fessed up and said sorry or said that, you know, I'll put my bitches in check or anything like that. He never did.
Now, what about his friends? Now, what about, because this same issue of like loyalty is coming up with his friends too. So what was the answer with his friends when you confronted him about his friends disrespecting you?
So one of his friends was, okay, so I got to tell you this story. The reason why I got into a fight was because one of his friends lied and said it was the girl I fought who like sent this like crazy text message. And it ended up not being the girl. It was all of them because it was just weird.
So it was just this whole messy plot to try to get rid of you.
It was a whole messy plot. So the girl lied and his best friend was like, okay, it's this girl. What can we name her? We're going to name her.
Becky. Fuck Becky.
Yeah. Okay. So his friend lied on Becky. And Becky had came up to me and I'm looking at her like, hey, you need to chill. And so since she got buck, I'm already hearing something wild in my head.
And you already weren't in the right. You already were already kind of set off. So you were ready to go.
Yeah, I was honestly, I was ready to go. I was ready to realize it.
It was just a matter of who was going to get it today.
And literally, that's just what it was. And so once
I know about that. What time I beat a bitch and it wasn't even the right bitch. So I was like, well, you know, you'll do something someday.
Okay, like eventually, like one day. And she was always, she was this Becky girl was definitely, she had it coming anyways. It wasn't even you, okay? It was the other girl, it was your friend. And that's what I used to tell Mr. Cafe Olé. It's like, your friends, it's not even like it was one of the other random girls. This is your friend. She's been now, it's our apartment. Mm-hmm. She's been to
our apartment. You got snakes in your camp.
Huh? Yeah.
He has snakes in his camp, so his shit was already dirty.
Yeah. And so it was, I'm like, these are your people. And ever since that has been the sour thing, because it was like, well, she's never offended me. She's never offended me. But I'm like, she's offended me. Aren't we like together? Like, mm-hmm. And that's where he was. He was just like, things were going too good, and friends with bad relationships around. And a lot of the people that we worked with, they weren't in healthy relationships either. And if you see somebody and it happens so fast and they're so happy and he's smiling in all of his pictures, he's laughing at dinners with you. And you can even say like, or I mean, Cafe Olé is a dick and now he's so nice. That goes to show that you're happy. Mm-hmm. And it goes to show, like you said, snakes in your camp, because people will put things there and it's like, I'm black. And then you put in your lies. It was a disaster. So the whole 2 years, we literally fought. We fought all the time.
So how does it come to an end? What is the conclusion? Because did you end it? Did you guys mutually agree to end it? Did he end it? I guess what brings things to a close?
I think we just got tired of fighting. I ended up moving to LA too. I saved all my money and I was like, all right, I gotta go. So I think that's literally what it was. It was... I moved, and it was kind of a mutual thing because he was kind of tired of fighting too. But the thing is, once I moved to LA and we broke up, he calls me every day, all day. And when I really had to put my foot down and kind of tell him like, hey, like we can't talk every day. You know, I was with you, we lived together and we barely spoke if we weren't arguing, you know, but we can't speak every day. And now he's really like, damn, like I messed up. So that's
and
my...
now you just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no. I'm over it. I am definitely
all the way good on it.
And that's the thing, because I always want to stay friends with all my ex-boyfriends, and it never works out. It's like, girl, no.
I have never.
Okay.
I have never, girl. They probably have voodoo dolls in their closet.
Right. Because are you a fuck boy? Okay.
Yes, I've definitely been a fuck boy. I'll try to get my shit together. I ain't gonna tell y'all I'm perfect.
Okay.
Let me just say.
I got a few fuckboy stories. Okay.
Oh, that's why we started this podcast, because I'm a fuckboy trying to get my own shit together.
Okay.
Oh my God. No. I think my situations are like half and half. Like they've been fuckboys. I've been a fuckboy too. But let's get up in this even deeper. So you guys end things amicably. You clearly sound like by the time you exited, which I kind of can understand it. It sounds like you kind of had already like decided by the time you were leaving. You're like, I'm done with this. This is my fresh start. We're already in this chaos. I'm just going to let this ride out. I don't even need no breakup drama. I'm just going to move.
Yeah,
you're going to know what it is. Yeah. You're going to know we're done when I move, because we basically were done already here. And yeah. I just didn't feel like arguing about it. I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was literally, I was like, I think I'm going to go to LA. I think I'm going to move to LA. And then eventually I just started moving out all my clothes. I put them in storage, put all my stuff in storage, mailed stuff here, looked for an apartment. And we were still talking every day once I got here. And then after that, like now that I was in New York for 2 months and we like saw each other, but I was like, yeah, no, this is over. Because even that's the thing, like when we saw each other, I tried to, you know, put my best foot forward and not be so nagging or so angry about the things that didn't go right. But then I kept seeing like how he was following right back into that, like he would start a fight just to get a reaction. You know, when you're with somebody,
and then it's like, okay, nothing's changed.
Isn't it crazy how like when you're in a relationship with someone, they, and it doesn't work out and y'all break up, they end up doing like wild shit. And it's like, even when I was in a relationship with you, when we were arguing, I didn't think you would do this.
Well, I think you can push people to their limits. On the other side, I'll say this as a fuckboy before we like wrap this part up. I'll say I could, like in hindsight, it was like, I guess like in looking back at that situation, this is like now like a year and a half like later, like I've accepted this and dealt with it. But in hindsight, it's like, okay, well, nigga, he kind of owes you one.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you kind of have to like get to that level of maturity where you can step out of like the chaos that you're living and look at it like, you know, as like a third party, or look at it from the outside looking in. And I was like, so of all these years of like you doing like fucked up shit, maybe like, you know, him like having his half too, but it's like overall, this person's always showed up for you. So this time they decided that they could not, for whatever their reasons, mm-hmm. you know, for their own personal well-being, how can you be upset? Well, it's like, yeah, I can be upset that you didn't use your words. You didn't tell me. But to be honest, maybe y'all should have did this a long time ago. Yeah. Maybe both of y'all should have been adults and be like, you know what? This isn't right. We shouldn't do this again. Let's not get back on this horse.
That yeah, is so interesting. Well, my ex-boyfriend, Mr. Cafe Olé, he mm-hmm. like paid for everything. Like I live for free. I just save my money, you know, everything.
Girl, isn't that nice? It's nice when you get that.
And that's, I think that's what the envy is. And they're like, she's just a gold digger. I'm like, I didn't even know if I was going to fall into this. Okay, guys.
Right. You don't fall into it knowing.
You know, I was well, sometimes not looking for they're going to pay my bills, but it just happened that way. So I think that's also a reason why he wasn't so remorseful, because he's like, well, I give you everything.
You're getting all this out of it.
Yeah. So you just have to take that. But then he would always like, you know, well, you've saved a lot of money, or you're doing this with money. He would always make me feel like I was using him, but I'm like, offered this up. It wasn't the other way around. And so with the whole owe you one thing, oh my gosh, he's done some wild shit. But I thought about that one time, like to take myself out of it, I did cheat on him while we were together. And I've never really cheated on a boyfriend before.
Well, yeah. I cannot say that I have not. I'm okay. Sorry, I'm guilty. it's not like a badge of honor. I'll just say I am in no way innocent.
Okay, good. I was like, as long as we ain't here.
So you should not feel guilty for admitting that you cheated on your boyfriend. I always just say, I think knowing why is important. I think if you can avoid it and just do the right thing, it's even better. But he sounds like a dick. So honestly, it feels like y'all probably balanced out with the bullshit.
I literally, like after that, like anything he did, I was kind of like, you know what? Any wild stuff he did right before we were really, really done, I couldn't even. I was like getting upset, but then it's like, well, you know, this nigga owe you one. Like you were out here fucking a whole guy up the street and you still have the audacity to come back and lay down in his bed.
But at the end of the day, you know, I've also been that person where it's like, you know what? Well, if I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna be in pain, I could be having a benefit out of it.
Yeah, I should have some fun. Like, cause this ain't fun.
Also, this that means the relationship is probably toxic.
Oh, as fuck. I'm a firm believer. Once you start doing shit like that, if you start doing stuff like that, when I tell you, I have been bombarded with nothing but fuck boys since during the cheating time and a little after. It's like, I don't know if it's karma or what, but I get a fuck boy like every other day, and I'm like, hold up.
Mine is definitely my karma.
Okay, yeah, I'm like, oh, I cheated on you a few times. Damn, okay, karma go away.
All right, and then my thing is like, okay, because it's like you can like the cheating. Everybody gets one.
Everybody gets one.
I'm gonna say everybody gets one, but see, here's the thing: we need to understand why we're here, and if we even want to continue to be here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because are we cheating because we're upset? Are we cheating because we're not, you know, using our words? Are we cheating because it's a symptom of like some greater issues? Mm-hmm. Like, did you not use your words when you were angry and you thought something was something and you went and made a choice and then now you look stupid? I've done that before.
Yeah, I've definitely done.
I've like looked in a phone and thought I read something and was like, and was mad about it for 2 or 3 days. And when it walked my ass out there, was like, you know what? I'm gonna show your ass, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then, you know, came back two days later. And then come to find out it was just somebody being thirsty and they weren't even paying attention to it. And now you done lost a whole, probably the best relationship you ever had over some bullshit, because mm-hmm. you could have just used your words. So take this as a testament.
Ooh.
Ask the questions that maybe make you look insecure, because I'd rather look insecure than look like a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can come back from being insecure. You can be like, well, yeah, I've been cheated on. Maybe that's why I'm so scared. Maybe that's why I got the Beyonce Hawkeye.
Okay.
Because I definitely have the Hawkeye. I'm not even gonna lie. I have the Beyonce Hawkeye. So, you know, just own while you're in whatever place you're in. But with you and him, no, I mean, yeah, a little bit of karma was in that. But I also want you to figure out, you said you had some personal things going on. Why was, I guess, dealing with someone and dealing with friends like,
I don't know. I just feel like I've never had that type of relationship. This is the very first type of relationship I've had where people were so malicious and my man is just like kind of just at bay to what they want.
Master manipulator.
I couldn't help but wonder.
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 Are men just women with balls?
This is a good time to vent, officially. Now, in the great tradition of Paris is Burning, the library is about to be open. Hey! Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
That's right, children.
All right, we are back with our fuckboy versus fucked up portion of the show. We have my guest Cynthia here. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so today's letter comes in from Leah. And Leah says she has been dating Drew, and she wants to know if Drew is a fuckboy or if he is a racist. She said, but honestly, what's the difference even anymore? Okay. Oh, damn, you just went right back into it.
Okay. Damn. All right.
What's the difference anymore? Damn. Okay. She says, I met Drew while we were both partying in Vegas for the weekend. He was with his friends and I was with mine. Dating wasn't even on my mind, so him and his flashy ass friends never even caught my attention, but they certainly had my girl's attention. By the next hour, I found myself across the club in Drew's section playing a team player for my friends. And the next 2 hours consisted of drunken whispers and promises of a fairy tale life from a white boy who was woke and also loved Tupac. Okay. I'm sorry for any white people out there. Please do not tell me that you love Tupac.
That's the last thing.
If you're trying to hit on a black person or a person of color, please do not talk about Tupac or Biggie or like start rapping like Jay-Z lyrics. That doesn't really like Wayne was the best rapper alive.
White people love to see you and your black self out, and when rap songs on, they want to rap all the lyrics to you. Like, I know the lyrics, sir. You don't have to tell me.
You know them. I probably do too. I'm pretty sure. I promise you. Leah goes on further to say, before I could say no, my friends had already given him my number and I had planned to ignore him, but he confirmed the next day plans already before I could even leave the club that night. Oh, well, I mean, on the one hand, that's pretty nice and concise. Yeah, so she said, I finally agreed to go out on the next day, figuring what's the worst that could happen. To my surprise, he treated me like a princess for the next coming months. Private cars, penthouses, trips, and dinners galore. But there's
Where's
just
the white boy at? Hold up. Okay. I need the white boy too.
Girl, keep listening, okay?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
She said, but there's just one thing I couldn't get over, his sexy talk. Every time we'd have sex, he'd always have to talk about his big white cock or my cocoa butter booty, among other things. When I got tired of it one day, I asked him why he always felt the need to talk like that during sex. He said it turned him on and that the color contrast was just one of his favorite things about dating me. Okay, color contrast. This is not a box of Crayola, okay?
You know what? I understand why she's like, wait, but I have, oh my gosh. This is whatever, okay? They ain't gonna see my face, right? I mean, this is just.
They're not gonna see your face, but girl, they gonna hear you.
Okay.
I mean, bitch, they gonna know who you are. Anyways, I'm gonna finish this story. Pause your comment. Think about if it's the right thing to say.
No, I'll just say it real quick. I've been having sex with one of my Latin men before, and he was my boyfriend. We were together. This is my ex boyfriend, and he did say something to the effect of one time, because he was like, you know, I've dated morenas, like Latin black girls, but I've never dated like a black girl. And he was like, and you know, I'm dark skinned. he was like, you know, honestly, when we're having sex, like from the back doggy style, he was like, the color contrast is crazy. Like, and then he filmed it one day and showed me, and I was like,
I mean, I think it's different. I would say it's different. I get the color contrast. I'm not saying that you know, you don't acknowledge the color contrast, but I think, I don't know if I would like, do you want to talk about the color contrast with a white guy? Or like a white girl? I don't know if I want to talk about it with a white person.
Well, see, he was pale, like a white person.
Contrast was definitely there.
It was crazy. It was, and when he, I was like, what? And then when he showed it to me, I was like, I get it. I do get it.
Visually, the mind could be blown.
Yeah,
by the visual.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. That's a good point. She goes on to say, I immediately started getting dressed. He kept trying to reassure me that he wasn't a racist and that he cared for me and treasured me as a Black woman. But all I could think about was his words. How could he be turned on by having his cocoa butter queen, but not recognize how his words were so hurtful? I told him that if he wanted a Black trophy to play with or a Black Barbie doll, I was not the one. And he said that he denied that that was where his fetish was coming from. And he just wanted to write off his sexy talk, saying that he hated Trump and that he had plenty of Black friends and that I knew that.
Oh, well, okay.
I
got Black friends, okay?
And then she goes on further to say, you know, the normal list of white excuses when they get caught being racist. At the end of the day, I just couldn't put my finger on it, whether he was a racist or if he was just too turned on in the bedroom. My girls say I'm being a little too sensitive and that he's just being a fuckboy, or that he is a fuckboy sometimes. What do you think?
He met her, he's picking her up in cars, taking her on nice dates, they're intimate, he's showing that he likes her. I think he is...
I'm sorry, we're not going to talk about your big white cock every time we fucking...
But white boys say cock, Black boys say dick. So when
white boys say cock, but I don't want to talk about your big white cock up in my cocoa butter pussy every time.
Oh yeah, not every time. Like, okay,
like what else? Because she's saying that this is like the way she phrased it, she was like, it's this glaring issue that keeps going on over and over and that she can't get over. So this seems to be his version of sexy talk. Like, this is his sexy talk.
I hate
like race. Talk. Like, cause to me, like in reading, like when I read this letter the first time we picked it, I thought about like, this seems like a race play. Like there's a certain thing, like in like, there's a certain type of like fetish where people enjoy race play, where they enjoy talking about, oh, you like this big white cock fucking this white, you know, this Black ass or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like it's the idea of baiting and playing with the idea of like the race. As like what turns you on. And to me, that I don't know, something about that feels racist. Yeah, something about that feels like there's something to that. That's not just you talking sexy. You like, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know, because my ex-boyfriend did say cock, and I had to tell him, like, he used to date a white girl. And I was like, before me, he was in a wrong relationship with a white girl. And I'm like, I had to tell him, like, listen, I'm Black.
My thing is, you want to call it a cock, call it a cock.
I personally want to call it a dick too, but
I think in dealing with white people, like in Black girls my don't experience, like cock. No, like- we don't. I don't like cock, period. So in dealing with white people, it's like, if you want to call it a cock, call it a cock, but I'm going to call it a dick when I talk about it.
Yeah.
But
putting that in me, you going to call it a dick too, sir. Cause I can't, you can't, cock just seems wrong. It just seems wrong. Like, but I think she should.
Do you think he's a racist? Or do you think he's a fuckboy?
I think he's definitely wrapped up in his privilege and he can't see past it. So I think he is. I think he could possibly be racist, actually.
My thing would be like, ask your Black friends, how would they feel if like that was like their sister? I think here it's like the repetitiveness, the fact that this is his sexy talk that she says. Also, I think the statement that she made about him not understanding how this is hurtful.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a bit of both, because some of this is like some fuckboy shit where it's like, okay, if your girl tell you stop fucking and stop talking like this, like, just let it go.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a little bit of both, but I also think that it could be untaught too. Like, if y'all are together and he likes you and he hates Trump and he has so many black friends, then eventually
you have so many. How many? Count them on your hands and toes.
Okay, right. I have all my black friends. I got Taiwan.
They're right here in my pocket.
Right. Jamal, DJ, you know.
You know they got the like the hoodest names ever.
Okay.
I know Dejanay from Proud Family. I know that girl. I got her on the hotline.
That's my girl. She doesn't mind it. Like, no, she does. She's just prepared to tell you. You know,
that's really what it is.
Yeah, like, oh, we, you know, John's cool. He's kind of crazy, but he's cool. And he's dating a black girl, you know? So, no. I think she should give him another chance. He is a little bit of both, though. But, like I said, it could be unlearned. And you could teach him. If he really likes you, it's a white boy. Like, it's fine. You can definitely unlearn.
If we're being honest, they're much easier to train.
They are. Like, they literally are. Way even more than the Hispanics, more than the blacks.
If we're talking about on like a tiered system on the learning curve with the white is about the, I think there's only one other learning curve that is maybe easier than a white learning curve, and that would be an Asian learning curve. No offense. Yes. The Asian people that I've easy to train.
Easy to train. Yeah.
Eager to learn.
You want an
eager student.
Yes, you do.
If that's what you're going for.
And they're perfectionists, so they're going to get an A every time.
They are. And white guys, they're eager to please. So like they live for that gratification of when they've done something right.
Mm-hmm. And if they like you, it's perfect. Mm-hmm.
They want is your smile. All they want is a smile and you're pleased. I've done my job.
Yeah, they're very much like that. So yeah, I think she should definitely still consider the relationships. I heard some perks in there. So
there were definitely some perks. I definitely read there was a list of perks that she clearly stayed around for. That's clearly why she dealt with this that long. I think even the fact that you're writing us about it means that okay, you're still on the fence. Now, personally, can I say that this is something that I can handle with my where I'm at. I think I'm very borderline when it comes to like this whole race stuff. I also think that we're all kind of like super sensitive right now with the state of the world. So I don't know if like right now with the state of the world, I can handle dating someone like this. But more power to you.
I could definitely handle it. I could definitely
see. I don't know if I'm in the education place anymore.
Okay. Well, no,
it's just because the world, I think all those things kind of would like set me off. And then I would just be like, over your white ass. Now, if Trump isn't in office, like there are some other factors, you know, maybe try me in 2021, you know, maybe, I don't know. Me personally, I don't know. I'm not there.
Maybe but that's Leah, more if the you reason, got it, yeah,
I think that might be why she's a little sensitive too.
You can change his mind completely, and then that'll affect like his friends who are white and his family. So I think since we're in such a sensitive time and he still likes you, and
this is a good opportunity to
and I mean right even now when she said like I don't like how you are calling me this, that's perfect, because we don't want to be called that. You don't have to refer to my cocoa butter body, you know, like what? Or cocoa butter skin, like what?
Who's to say she even likes cocoa butter? She might be a shea butter bitch. She and you need to know the difference.
Exactly. So yeah, Leah girl, I understand. I think you should stay because the perks are nice and it's a good teaching moment. We could teach another white how to be, you know?
There it is. He's a fuck boy. We're pending on the racist. We think we might be able to stump out the racism if we attack, you know, swiftly, and with proper education. And good luck, Leah. Let us know how it goes.
Good luck, Coco Queen. Okay.
Hey, how about we listen to a little bit of music?
How did you know? I love this song.
Mm, hi.
just shot it on the album, right?
Word?
Yes. Everywhere I go, I see the same.
Now we are at our song of the week portion of the show. Cynthia, you have been giving it to him honest and real this little episode. I'm loving having you on here. So yeah. Just tell everybody what's this song of the week. I'm excited for this one.
So the song of the week is Givian, Still Your Best. I want to dedicate this to all of the fuckboys and to some of the ghosters who ghost you but still watch your stories. And I just think that I am still your best, okay? And that's that.
Babes, I don't want your heart. Maybe once before, I don't want you back. Just wanna let you know, say my love is bad. So you let me go. I don't want you back. Just wanna let you know. Just wanna let you know.
Come on, make me believe what you're saying.
Can we waken this up a little?
Well, yeah, if you think you can.
Okay. Deanna. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
All right, we are at our Fuckboy Fixes portion of the show. It is the part of the show that you guys know I love the most. It's a therapy word, it's a tip. It is a resounding meaning, or I guess just topic that you can take with you and how to improve your relationships and how you can improve a relationship like this in the future. And today's word today is loyalty. Mm-hmm. Cynthia, tell us all about how you feel about loyalty, especially dealing with Mr. Cafe Ole and his disloyal ass.
All right. Loyalty is so important to me. I am, like I've said earlier, I'm a Leo. And so we're very loyal and very passionate and very protective over the people who are close to us. I think loyalty in a relationship, you want someone to be honest, but you want also someone to be loyal. So they're protecting you. You guys are going to this into something together. You're a team. And, you know, Kobe Shaq, like they're loyal to each other, you know, basketball. We're a team. We're playing here together. I just feel like with the Mr. Cafe Ole situation, when you are not loyal to your partner, it brings in a lot of insecurities and it's scary. It's scary to not know if someone doesn't have your back or has your back or doesn't have your back. So that's why I think if you can establish that in a relationship along with, you know, trust and love, there's really nothing you guys can't achieve together, to be completely honest. Because even when you're loyal to someone, it doesn't mean it's just like you have their back with anything that they do. It's that you can tell them what they're doing is wrong and they can understand it because you're kind of showing them that you're there and you're prepared for how they need to be loved. So that's my word, and that's so important to me in a relationship.
Oh, I think you hit it right on the money. That's all I can say about loyalty. I mean, loyalty sometimes takes different shapes and forms, like you're saying. Sometimes loyalty shows up as accountability, and that means holding your partner, you know, accountable even when they don't want to be. Mm-hmm. Loyalty means standing by somebody's side even when it's hard. Maybe sometimes, you know, like we talked about, in the midst of cheating or doing someone wrong, you know, if they decide to be loyal to you, don't shame their loyalty. Don't look past their forgiveness or take them for granted. Okay, show up and step up and be right there and honor where they're showing up for you at. You know, don't go around and play around and, you know, have no integrity about your situation. You know, be loyal to the people that are loyal to you. That's what I always say. Because when they're gone, you're going to look about it differently. So
it feels cold.
Wake up.
Yeah, it feels cold.
Mm-hmm. Wake up before it's too late and you end up all alone, buddies.
Okay.
That's all I'm gonna say, fuck boys. From one person who's fucked up to the next. Learn your lesson, homeboys. All right. Until next time. Oh, wait. You gotta tell the people where to find you.
Yes. Okay, I am on Instagram, Cynthia Gitonga, CynthiaGitonga. Follow us on the Gold Room podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio. It's your weekly recap of all the gossip, all the know. We do talk about politics. So Cynthia Gitonga on IG, Cynthia Gitonga at iCloud.com if you want to email me. Twitter. Cynthia the G, and follow the Gold Room podcast.
Yes, I'll make sure to tag them.
Yeah.
So. Yes. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love anytime you can talk about a fuckboy, I'm here for it. Okay.
We definitely are going to have you back on the show. And bye, fuckboys.
Bye, fuckboys.
That's all, folks. Thank you again for listening to today's podcast. Please make sure to subscribe, rate it, and share with a friend wherever you are listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _FBProbs, FBProbs. And please make sure to add our playlist on Spotify and Apple Music. And if you got fuckboy problems, please email us at fbprobs@justinrain.com. That's FBProbs at Justin, JUSTIN, Rain, RAYNE.com. See you next episode, fuckboys.